الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم، ومن يغفر الله ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. تنعي إن شاء الله. We call this class today so that we can have a discussion about some of the things that are going on in the community between the married couples. We have received scattered reports with different things being claimed. Of course, there is nothing in detail that anyone knows about except the people who are in those marriages. But there was a cause of concern because for the last 2 or 3 weeks there have been a lot of things that have been said that are going on between the couples in our community. And because you brothers, along with your wives, you constitute basically the foundation of the dawah here in Masjid al-Istiqamah, we have to bring the situation to light in the hope that we can, inshallah, affect some change. Because in my experience in traveling around the different communities, one thing that we don't want to do is we don't want to repeat one of the phenomena that take place in a lot of the messages across America. We don't want our community, as we're making an effort to establish this dawah, we don't want our community to become the type of community where brothers marry sisters and then they divorce those sisters without legitimate reasons. Brothers marry sisters and sisters agree to get married to those brothers and then the sisters want to get divorced without legitimate reason. And then after the divorce takes place, one or two things happen. Either the husband or the girl or both of them, they leave the dawah altogether because of the embarrassment or the shame. Or many times they were just trying to be on the dawah for the mate. So when the divorce comes, whether it was caused by the husband or the wife, one of the negative things that happens is that one of the two or both of them, they leave the community and they leave the dawah. It's a fitna. The other negative thing that takes place is that they get divorced, and then after getting divorced, another brother from the community marries the girl. And then the women start to get passed around the community, and then when we see each other as brothers, a brother is looking at another brother, and he says, well, I know what she's like, I've been with her. And she's saying about the different men of the community, I know what he's like, I've been with him. I say that that's negative because that creates some feelings that are contrary to what Al-Islam has come for. Now, if people got divorced, and we had people in our community who were divorced, it becomes the responsibility of the men of the community to marry that girl who was divorced. So if she could marry a man who's going to take care of her after that, then obviously that's not negative. I'm talking about the negativity that we see in many communities where people get divorced unnecessarily, and all they're doing, as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is tasting the honey of each other. They're only tasting each other's honey. So we want to come to you now, inshallah, to discuss this issue. And everybody knows what his particular situation is because it's a well-known fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, he told us in too many authentic hadith, One of those authentic hadith is the statement that's been collected by Imam Muslim and the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْمَرْأَى خُلِقَتْ مِنْ دَلَعٍ لَنْ تَسْتَقِيمَ لَكَ عَلَى طَرِيقًا فَإِنَ اسْتَمْتَعْتَ بِهَا اسْتَمْتَعْتَ بِهَا وَفِيهَا عَوَجٍ وَإِنْ ذَهَبْتَ تُقِيمُهَا كَثَرْتَهَا وَكَثُرَهَا طَلَاقُهَا. Verily, the woman has been created from the rib, and verily, she will never become upright for you. So if you enjoy her, you're going to be enjoying her, and she has this crookedness. And if you go to straighten her out, you're going to break her. And breaking her is to divorce her. So that authentic hadith clearly helps us understand that part of the nature of coming together, the man and the woman, is that you can expect problems. The woman can expect to see from the man that which she doesn't like, and vice versa. And there are going to be problems that are going to come as a result of that. If you brothers who are not married at this time think that you're going to get married to some girl, a potential wife, and you think that you're not going to have problems with that girl, then you are fooling yourself. You're imagining. You're living in a takhayyulat. The brothers who are married now, look at any brother in this masjid that you want to look at. Those sisters can look at any sister in the masjid that they want to look at. The people you have, or you think they have good relationships, they may have good relationships, inshallah. But I guarantee you, the best relationships in this ummah are not without their problems. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took an oath to forsake his wife for a month. You think he just woke up one day and on his hawa, wa na'udhu billah, he said, I'm going to forsake my wife? No. They do things that cause the clash to take place. Before getting into anything about advice, there are a few things I want to discuss with you, brothers. Some things that you all already know, but the dhikr comes out of mu'mineen. The remembrance benefits the believers. So even if we say something that you've heard already, it still is something that you should take heed to and pay attention to. And that is, first of all, we need to understand, as you all know, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala told us in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinn and the mankind except for them to worship me. So as we sit here right now, everyone needs to reflect and he needs to say, I have not been put on this earth to enjoy the meal that I'm planning on eating tonight. That's not why Allah created me. I have not been put on this earth to go and to play basketball, to go and to go to the range and do what I want to do at the range, to go and lift weights. I have not been put on this earth for any of that. All of the things that I'm doing in my life, those things that I like, those things that have me preoccupied, my job, all of that, I have not been created. My existence, this thing right here, has not been placed here for that. That is not the goal and the objective. So why Allah put me into existence? Allah clearly defined why He created us, and that is so that we will worship Allah. When the abd knows that, he has to be a person who talks to himself during the course of the day and throughout his lifetime. He has to say to himself, if that's true and that's the case, then I have to realize every single thing that I do and say, every single thing that I think about, I'm going to be held accountable for it. What is the ultimate goal? And I look at all of the issues through those lenses. What's the ultimate goal? I'm here, I've been created to worship Allah. Based upon that, all of these things that come to me, I'm going to put it in that perspective and deal with the situation. So in your marriages, you have to understand that it is a test, it is a trial, it is an empty hand for you to be in that marriage. Allah didn't create you to marry the girl. He didn't create you for that. Nor did He create that girl so that she can marry you. He created you to worship Him. So the marriage institution can be what? It can be an opportunity that you manipulate it in order to get Allah's pleasure, or it can be an opportunity that Shaitan will manipulate to make you be of the recipient of Allah's displeasure. And I think that's important that we always remind ourselves of that point. Before I get into this clash with these kuffar, whatever, let me put into perspective, what am I here for? And then that will determine whether or not I'm going to get mad. That's going to determine whether or not I'm going to grip on somebody and deal with them. That's going to determine how I'm going to act. And then I'm able to say, well, I was intelligent in that situation because really it wasn't worth all that. It wasn't worth all that. It's a simple matter. Now that we understand why Allah created us, the next thing we have to understand is, what is our relationship with the creation of that girl? Allah Ta'ala being Al-Hakim and being the Khaliq, the Most Wise, and being the Creator. Whenever He creates something and He fashions it and He proportions it, He knows better than everyone else, including that created thing, the most about that particular thing. So He told us in some ayats of the Quran that I want to share with you. The first ayat is in Surah Ar-Rum that we talked about earlier, ayat number 21. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And from the signs of Allah, the many signs of Allah, from His signs is that He created for you wives from your own self, so that you can do what? لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you can live with them. And He put between you love and mercy. Verily that is a sign for people who reflect. Had Allah Ta'ala made men the way we are now, and then He made for us mates who were chimpanzees, fitna. He made the men the way the men are, and He made mates for us the walruses, or a seal, the fitna. He made mates for us from our own selves. He created our father Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, and from Adam He created our mother Hawa, alayhi salatu wasalam. And why did He do that? He created you so that you can worship Him. And He created for you mates from your own selves, and He, so that why? So that you can live with them. So that clearly shows us what the Prophet was saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he told us, من تزوج فقد استكمل نصف دينه فليتق الله في الشطر الآخر. Whoever gets married, he has completed half of his religion, man and woman. So let him fear Allah as it relates to the other half. Allah created us and created those women for us, for what? So that we can live with them. So the person who doesn't have that wife to live with, he's not a complete man. He's locked out of a lot of blessings and a lot of barakah. Some very clear and some not so clear. We're going to come to that. And then he went on to say, after explaining why he did that, so that you can live with them, and he put between you love and mercy. Mawadda and Rahma. This ayat, the man is to look at himself and he's to say, in my relationship with this woman, the mawadda, the love that Allah mentioned in the Quran, the time was taken out to reveal this ayat, and He put between you love and mercy. The love that I have for this girl and the love that she has for me, we have to do what? We have to critique it and look at it to find out on what level is my love for her and on what level is her love for me. Is it only platonic? Because if it is, based upon the physical thing, then what's going to happen is that the problems are going to be more. Or do I have the real love of Al-Islam? The religious love. The love of the Aqidah. The love that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أحب لله وأبغض لله وأعطى لله ومنع لله فقد استكمل دينه. who have a love for Allah and he hates for Allah, he gives for Allah and he doesn't give for Allah, he has completed his iman. Is it that type of love? Because if it's that type of love, you're going to find that the problems are less. So the man whose answer is, it's mostly platonic, it's not a physical thing, it's not that religious thing, then he realizes, according to what level his love is on, it's going to determine how many problems he has, or how many problems he doesn't have. So he has to work on his situation. He has to work on developing the religious love. I look at you brothers, each and every one of you, and I feel, wallahi, that you all love me for Allah's sake. And I love you likewise for Allah's sake. And as a result of that, we don't have problems. Not a single brother in here I got a problem with. And not one of you have a problem with me. So why? And I'm not that close to you. We don't have problems, but you have problems with the one you're supposed to love more than me. Because it's not a religious love. It's partly religious, but it needs some more work. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, he said in another authentic hadith, ثلاثة من وجدهن وجد حلاوة الإيمان أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما وأن يحب المرء ولا يحبه إلا لله وأن يكره أن يكسب في الكفر بعد أن أنقذه الله منه كما يكره أن يكسب في النار أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Three things that if you find this in your repertoire, if you find this in your iman, in your existence, these three things, if you find them within you, earnest, you will taste the sweetness of iman. Faith has a taste. You could taste it in your heart, you could taste it in your tongue even. There are three things, if the man or the woman has these three things, they will taste the sweetness of an iman. What are those three things? That person loves Allah and His Messenger more than he loves everything else. And that person loves another person. And he loves that person only for Allah's sake. His wife, his friend, he loves that person only for Allah's sake. And the third thing is he hates to go back into kufr. After Allah saves them from kufr, just like he hates to be thrown into the hellfire. Whoever has those three things, he will taste the sweetness of iman. So when the person loves Allah and His Messenger more than anyone, when they have problems, they are more apt. When it is said to them, ittaqillah, fear Allah. One of the two mates are doing wrong. It's said to one of them, ittaqillah, fear Allah. If they love Allah and His Messenger more, they'll come back to the haq. But if they don't love Allah and His Messenger more, then what happened? As Allah mentioned in the Quran, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ. If it's said to one of them, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ, he'll become even more obstinate and go even more astray. So you get out of here with that اتَّقِ اللَّهِ. You اتَّقِ اللَّهِ. That's what you hear people say. So the point that we want to make here is, if you love the girl for Allah's sake, then it's going to help you minimize a lot of the problems. If she loves the man for Allah's sake, then it's going to help to minimize the problems. It's going to help us to maintain the limits that have been ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another ayat of the Quran, and Allah is explaining to us and expressing to us the relationship between the husband and the wife. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, ayat number 187, Allah Ta'ala tells us, أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ الرَّفَثُ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنَّ. Made permissible for you people on the night of your fast. You fast during these days of Dhul Hijjah. From Fajr time to Maghrib time. You fast in the month of Ramadan. During the night of your fast, after you break your fast, Allah said, it is permissible for you to have a relationship with your women. It used to not be permissible. We're going to talk about that another time. A man will have to fast if he missed and go all the way to the next day. So this ayat was revealed to show the people, if you fast during the day, after Maghrib, it's permissible now for you to have relationship with your mate. And Allah will have to say, they are a clothing for you, and you are a clothing for them. Your women are a clothing for you, and you are a clothing for them. If a person is not clothed, he's what? He's naked. If a man is walking around in society without any clothes, he's not looked at favorably, even in this society. That wife that you have, she's meant to what? To come and to cover your aura. And we're going to come back to this, the importance, how Allah said that they are clothing unto you and you are clothing unto them. The importance of the role that the wife plays in covering her husband's aura and him covering her aura, that which shouldn't be seen. In another ayah, in Surah An-Nisa, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala said, نِسَاءُكُمْ حَرْثٌ لَكُمْ فَأْتُوا حَرْثُكُمْ أَنَّا شِئْتُمْ. He said, verily your women are a tilth, a garden. Your women are a garden unto you. So come to your garden however you choose to come to it. Your women, in one ayah, are clothing for you. In this ayah, they are what? They are your garden. So come to your garden however you choose. Obviously, the garden is the place where if you plant the corn, if you plant the seed, it's going to grow. So come to that place where if you plant, something is going to grow. And don't go to those other places that things are not going to grow. Those are some ayat of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us some information as to how our relationship should be with this woman. When we look at these ayat and we ponder them and we contemplate them and we consider them, none of these ayat would suggest that the husband and the wife should be living with each other like cats and dogs. None of these ayat give you beautiful language, what they call balaga or eloquence, the way the picture is being described for you in each ayat, beautiful things, they are clothing unto you and you are clothing unto them. We place between you love and mercy. Come to your garden however you choose to come to your garden. Nice speech, which goes to show the Muslim man and the Muslim woman, in approaching the issue of marriage, if there is not in your mind an understanding of the ayats of the Quran that are telling you, easy, nice, sweet, will always get you further than salt and lemon and harshness, all the time. The general rule is, sugar, halawa, sweetness, easy. But then when you need to apply that other stuff, you apply it. But the general rule is, these ayats are telling you, take it easy. Now what are some of the things, ikhwan, other than not loving for Allah, and other than forgetting why Allah put us there? When the people forget why Allah created you, when you forget that, and you lose sight of that, you're going to have problems. Not only with your wife, period. And we all suffer our bouts of forgetting that. You become so engrossed in the dunya and what's happening, you forget. Ya ayyuhal insan, ma gharraka bi rabbika al-kareem. O mankind, what has caused you to forget about the Lord al-kareem? It happens to everybody. It's a problem. When you forget what the goal is and you lose sight of the prize, you're going to have problems with whatever. We have to remember that. The other thing is, what's the relationship with the man and the woman? You remember that? Easy. When you forget that, problem. Now what we need to discuss is to get to real, to the meat of the issue, and that is, what are some of the things that are leading to the problem? What are some of the things that are leading to the difficulty? No doubt, sometimes, ikhwan, no doubt, when you make a wrong choice, you're going to have problems. You choose to marry a girl and this is just not the one for you. And you're not the one for her. And as a result of that, there's going to be some problems. And that's why we say, Before anybody who got married, take your time. And the brothers who are not married, we're telling them, don't think about it romantically. Take your time. We are living in a time that the hour is close, and one of the signs of the hour is that there are going to be 64 women to every man. It is easy for you. It is easy for you. Trust me. To save up your money to go anywhere in America to marry a woman. To leave America and to go to Puerto Rico to marry a woman. To go to Bahamas and marry a Muslim girl. To go to Egypt and marry is easy. And just like it's easy for you, it's easy for the sister. But the hadith said, 64 women to every man. So your eyes are greater than her eyes, inshallah. Easy. So therefore, it doesn't make sense for a person to rush into a marriage. He makes the wrong choice, and as a result of that, he's living in the house, and there's a lot of, you know, azab, and a lot of mishak, and a lot of problems. So for the brothers who didn't get married yet, take your time. Those brothers who are married now and there's some problems, you know, if you came to find out that you made the wrong choice, and as I talk to the brothers, this applies to the women as well. If you came to find out that you made the wrong choice, the spirit of Al-Islam encourages people not to get divorced. That hadith that says, إِنَّا أَبْغَدَ الْحَلَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ الطَّلَاقِ. The most hated halal thing to Allah is divorce. That hadith is not authentic. It's weak. Not authentic. It's a famous hadith that is not authentic. The most hated halal to Allah is divorce. If Allah Ta'ala hated something, He wouldn't make it halal. He wouldn't make it halal. What's halal is good. What's haram is harmful. Even though the hadith isn't authentic, the principle of that is true. Al-Islam wants to see the Muslims together, the community, the ummah. And the families constitute components of the ummah. You have a child, you have 2-3 kids, you married to a woman, you mean to tell me Islam is encouraging you to break up that family and to destroy the relationship between the father and the children, the father and the mother, because this hadith is not authentic? Islam say no, just disregard and go, divorce is no problem. That's why it gave you so many ways, so many things to do to keep you together. But maybe the man married the girl, she's not the girlfriend. Those people in that situation, I think that really what you need to do is, you need to sit down with the girl and you need to communicate your true feelings with the sister, you and her. You need to communicate. And you guys need to fear Allah and be honest with yourself first. Be honest with each other. And say, listen, we need to give this 3 more months. Or 2 more months. Or 1 month. Everybody does the best that they can. I challenge you to let me be the one who makes the problem. 3 months. Because maybe we're just not compatible. I'm always fighting with you over this, you know, petty thing. After 3 months, we'll look back and we'll say, look, I put my best foot forward. You put your best foot forward and look at all the things that transpired over that duration, that span. It's better for us to part. What's wrong with that? Why continue to live with each other, throwing the dice? You're waiting for her to... What are you waiting for? Maybe it's going to get better? It's going to get better when you put the pressure on yourself to make it better. And you feel that your relationship is a relationship where I made the wrong choice. One of the suggestions that I would have is that the person says that to his mate, she says that back to them, and they really make an effort. During that time span, maybe they're going to have some misunderstanding. But their ability to overcome them is going to be an indication also, look, we can be together. Through talking, through discussing, because this thing is on the line, we really going to try. See, you'll be able to know. Yeah, you're from me, I'm for you. Might as well keep on going. But then we have the other people, who they are compatible, and they love each other. The brother is a good brother, he has some shortcomings. The sister's a good sister, she has some shortcomings. But they love each other, and they have children, or they don't have children. for those people, I believe really the answer most of the time is connected to what? It's connected to some behavioral patterns that we have. The thing that messes up those kind of people are the lack of communication, the inability to communicate. To sit down as an adult, a Muslim, and to say to someone, this is how I feel and this is what I think, without screaming, without being an emotional wreck, without making accusations, this is how I feel. When you discuss this issue with the person. The other problem, anger. Bit mushkila. Anger is one of the biggest problems. How are you going to think, Ahmed? How are you going to think? How are you going to make intelligent decisions when you're angry? You're not going to be able to think when you're angry. You know how you can really tell a man who's really worth his weight and salt? Whenever the money is on the line, whenever there's a lot of pressure, and you see how he performs. It's not when things are nice, you know, cookie crunchy, going about his business. Don't say my child, right? No. When the pressure is on, he responds to the call. He's a go-to man. In those situations, when the pressure is on the line, emotionally, you have to be ready to meet the challenge. And one of the things that we all can identify with is that most of us have been athletes, and you know what it takes to dig deep within yourself to come out with that inner strength to rise to the occasion. So now, when the man has to really deal with the situation with all the pressure on the line and everything like that, if he's not stable emotionally, he's going to lose all the time. Now what about when you become angry dealing with the sister? Besides, that's the thing that the woman is, emotional. You're not going to ever win. You're never going to correct anything. The other thing you want is what they call in Arabic, al-inad. A person who is aneed is the person who is stubborn. Being stubborn is another mushkila, another problem. Who's going to be the first one to apologize? Who's going to be the first one to come back? You remember that I told you about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, he saw the drapery on the throne of Allah ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw things in paradise, things in the hellfire. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sit like we're sitting, and he used to be with Jibreel and other angels. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the ability to do his fingers like that and water start gushing forth from his fingers so that the people can drink from the water. The point of the moon and the moon split in half. In spite of that, we see him always overlooking the faults of the other people and being the one to be the most honorable. So if he's the best of the sons of Adam, we can understand there's nothing wrong with not being stubborn. Nothing wrong with it. There's something wrong with insisting on being stubborn. Because now we enter into the realm of pride. So you have this, you know, I'm above all that. And the person who possesses one atom's grain, the smallest thing, you know, this little thing smaller than this, whoever possesses this of pride will not enter into paradise. Woman, enter. Who are you? Allah's name is Al-Mutakabbir. The pride. Arrogant. Allah. Pride. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah said, Al-Izza Izari. Wal-Kibriya Radai. من نازعني فيهما قذفته في النار. Allah Ta'ala said in a hadith al-Qudsi, in describing himself, my izar, the long part like Dhulqarnayn has on here, and Allah doesn't wear izar, my izar is my might. Al-Izzah is my izar, might, power. And Kibriya, pride, is my coat. Whoever contends with me in either one of them, my might, my crook, my pride, whatever, I will throw him in the hellfire. So the one who possesses smaller than this of pride, he can't go to Jannah because Jannah is too pure for the heart that has that little bit. So you need to think about that, Ya Abdullah. You are competing with Allah Ta'ala in His uluhiyah when you're walking around in the house talking about, I'm not going to apologize, it was her fault. So that's one of the clear proofs, wallahi, that we're more on the level of kids in al-Islam, and not on the level of the people who can build communities. People who are thinking about building communities, as the Arab poet said, in telling his son how to be. And we find Sheikh Muqbil in Yemen always saying this line of poetry, telling his students to be serious about studying. That poet said to his son, كُلْ رَجُلًا رِجْزُهُ فِي سَرَى وَهِمَّةُ هَامَتُهُ فِي السُّرَيَّ. Be a man whose feet are in the earth. Be realistic, be humble. Your feet dirty in the earth. But at the same time, let your desires be up with the star Pegasus. Your feet are on the earth, you down the earth, we can deal with you. But you're talking about building a community. How are you going to build a community, and at home you can't decide whether or not you should apologize or not apologize? Whose fault is it? This is our fault, I can't. We need people bigger than that. Wallahi, I can't imagine Abu Bakr and Umar, Uthman, Ali, Qasim, Usama, Bilal. I can't imagine them, radiallahu anhum, on that level and on that understanding. I can't imagine. So pride or stubbornness is a problem because it opens up the door and the opportunity of pride. When things go wrong, ikhwan, between us and our wives, as they always are going to happen, the people have to, all the time, not allow their emotions to take over them where they start to disobey Allah. For an example, things go wrong, it's not permissible for the sister to leave the house on her own, nor is it permissible for the husband to kick her out. لا تخرجهن من بيوتهن ولا يخرجن. Don't put them out of their home, nor should they leave. Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you want to make hijrah from your wife, you want to leave your wife, al-hijrah fi al-madaji'. Separation is separation in the bed, not the house. How are you going to correct and rectify the situation in you somewhere or she somewhere? The sister becomes so angry, she says, well, I know it's your right that I have relationships with you, but I'm not going to have relationships with you. And she uses that as a weapon and a tool against the brother. That's a clear indication she's not trying to help the situation. Because that's going to make him uptight and it's going to lead to other things. What are you trying to do? Kill the brother through frustration? I mean, honestly, what do you think the man is going to be doing? What do you think is going to be on his mind if you do that? Already, there's this thing about being stubborn. Who's the man and who's not the man? And you want to tell him, no, I'm not going to have relationships with you. That's a real blow to his ego. Not to mention physical. His physical needs. The brother, when he has the problem with the girl, he doesn't pay what he's supposed to be paying for. He says, okay, I'll pay you back financially. Whatever the thing I was paying for, I'm not paying for it now. I'm not coming to see you. I'm going to go and sleep in the masjid, sleep with the brothers and hang out and not call you. Now this is not correct. I'm going to use your children as a weapon. And you know, people are creative when it comes to paying each other back. People have to, ikhwan, in this situation, really, it's really, I believe, all about being big adults. All about being people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a lot of times, really, if the problems that we have were to be introduced to each other. I have a problem with my wife. I want to bring it to Abu Dawood. Abu Dawood, listen, I'm having a problem. Listen to it. You know why I won't go to him with it? Because I know when he hears it, he's going to think that I'm tripping. If he was to really look at it, he'd say, SubhanAllah, that's what level y'all on? Yeah, he may give me advice and try to be there for me, but in reality, that's what y'all fighting about. And all of us are like that. There's no real big major concern that you can't really talk about. And then if they are major concerns, then alhamdulillah, Islam has given us a way in which we can deal with those things. I want to say, Ikhwan, really, I'm going to request it from the brothers and from the sisters as well. And this is really a challenge because it really nags at the core of the unity of our community, and it's a problem. Those women are clothing unto us and we are clothing unto them. When you have these problems with your wives, it's not befitting that we go out and we start to tell people about, as soon as I become upset, I'm going to go and I'm going to sit with the brother and I'm going to start venting, telling him all the negative things that I have to say about my wife. In a fit of anger, I'm upset. So I start venting and I start telling this brother what I don't like about this girl. Now, look what I do. I put a sitting on him because he's going to go back and tell his wife. He's not going to be able to handle that trust. You couldn't hold your own secret. You're going to make someone else responsible for holding it. The other sitting is, you know, after 2 days or 3 days, or maybe a few hours, you're going to come to your senses, and you're going to go back with your wife, and now this guy looking at you talking about, what's wrong with him? And then told me all that information about his wife, why he's back with his wife again. And this goes doubly so to those women. One of the worst women are those women who tell other men about, other women about the problems they have with their husband. You're supposed to be for their brother, sister, clothing for him, to hide his aura. So every single time you get upset with the brother, you're going to call another sister. When you meet another sister, you want to open up that door, you're going to discuss that. All of your brothers, we have to stop talking about what situation is with our wives. And all of those women have to stop talking about what they have problems with concerning their husbands. And each and every one of you should go back home today and say to your wife, look, we're going to stop discussing other people's situation in our house. Because it's not Islamic. And it's going to work towards destroying the community. How are we going to be brothers and sisters, developing our community, developing the da'wah, which is bigger than all of us, and that's what we're doing. So, everybody is guilty of it. Everyone is guilty of it. Allah Ta'ala forgives the sin of the people when they make tawbah. التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له. The one who makes tawbah is like the one who doesn't have any sin. This is a new day. It's a new month. Almost a new year. We're going to now stop talking to each other about our women, and those women are going to stop talking to each other about their husbands. Why wouldn't a man have anything except positive things to say about his wife? And then, he keeps them to himself because of fear. He don't want to create a fitting in another man's heart for his woman. And likewise, why would a woman have anything negative to say about her husband? And if she talks about him in a positive way, there's a fitting that maybe a possibility another woman may start desiring him because she has a problem with her husband. So, what should we do? As the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you don't have anything good to say, then be quiet. If you don't have anything good to say, be quiet. Don't say anything. So now, the last question. If the people who still are going to have problems, is it possible that I can go and discuss my issue and stuff like that? I say to you, brothers, really, the best thing is to communicate with your mate. Try to solve your problem with your mate. Let it be the last resort that you go to other people. If you want to come to the Imam here in this masjid, wallahi, never, ever, 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 ever did any brother come to me and say to me this, that, that. And that didn't even happen too many times anyway. But I say to somebody, hey, this is what is up with so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. That's an Imam. But brothers don't do that anyway. I have to say, brothers don't come to me with a lot of stuff. I don't know what's going on between yourselves. I don't know. But they don't come to me with those things. So those brothers and sisters who are having problems, we advise you to make a bigger effort because this thing goes beyond you. I just want to make this personal for a minute, just so that you guys can understand. If I have to come to give the khutbah on Friday. I have to get in a certain frame of mind to be able to deliver. Here we are, trying to establish the da'wah. All of y'all got your role that y'all playing. All of us. Everybody got his role that he's playing. He do the best that he can. The minbar is extremely important because it's the one day during the week that people have to come and they have to sit down and they have to be quiet. So we have to pick something appropriate to talk about, and we have to give them the da'wah to introduce it to them to make them come to the da'wah. So we can't afford to blow it. Let's say that I have some misunderstanding with my wife Thursday night or Friday. It's going to impact on the way I think. And therefore it's going to impact upon the delivery. And therefore it's going to impact upon how the people want to do the da'wah. But really the da'wah should always be foremost in our mind. And get beyond this little narrow-minded view about me, Anna. It's all about me. And we're right, we all fall short of the mark. I'm just saying that those women, they have a role to play. They need to spend more time playing the role, taking care of their role. And all of us, we have a role to play in establishing doubt. We have to spend more time doing that. We can't drop the ball, Ikhwan. I have never, ever, ever been on a team in all my years of sports where we was the loser. Never. And then, alhamdulillah, I got the Quran telling me now, you are on the right team. And we have the Sunnah telling us, you have to be from the Ta'ifah al Mansura, the saved sect, the saved group. The Quran and the Sunnah. So look, you come to Islam, and alhamdulillah, you still get on the right team within Islam, which is the right team. Yeah, Allah to get it easy for us and establish us firmly. So if you brothers have any questions, inshallah ta'ala, concerning what we said today, you can ask your question, inshallah. Fadda. Go over back there. There are no questions. Dawah means to propagate Islam. The dawah. We're trying to establish Islam. The real Islam in Orlando. Yes, dawah. The real Islam, we're trying to establish it here in Orlando. Omar, how long you been a Muslim now? You not even finished a month yet, did you? Almost, huh? Alright, Omar has been trying to be really consistent, and you brothers have to do what you can to continue to help Omar and the other brothers. The community is not going to grow with the situation that's taking place with Abdullah and Omar. That's detrimental to the development and the growth of the community. It has to be bigger than you. Omar, it has to be, the da'wah is bigger than you. And it's bigger than you, Abdullah. The da'wah is bigger than both of you. That's a disruption in the community. This is a disruption. We have to give it time. We have to give it a lot of kalam, a lot of consideration. Those things happen though. The Sahabas had clashes, no doubt about it. But never do we find it being something that keeps going. So the Prophet ﷺ told us 3 days to be upset. 3 days. After that, that's it. Religiously, you're going beyond the limit ordained by Allah. More than 3 days, and you got a disease in your heart that you have to deal with. Now, Khair Haddad.
Yeah, when you get down with Ayah 34, talk about how you deal with the women who rebel. When you get down to the part where it says, hit the woman like that. I never understood that, explaining that part, as far as what type of hitting did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do with this one, if he did it at all. I think you mentioned it one time, he hit the chest.
That's what the ayat in Surah 4, Surah Tanisa, ayat number 34, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّتِ تَخَافُونَ نَشُوزُهُنَّ فَعِذُهُنَّ وَهْدِرُهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ وَضْرِبُهُنَّ. And those women who you fear from them, that they're going to be, you fear for them disobedience, Allah Ta'ala told us what to do in sequential order. And this is what you have to do in this order. First, you warn them. Sister, fear Allah. Sister, you need to watch your tongue. Sister, Allah said this, and the Prophet said this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about that behavior. Sister, if you truly believe in Allah and His Messenger in the last day, then know the angels are writing against you. You warn her like that. If that doesn't work, then the next thing that you do is you separate yourself from her in the bed. You stop having relationships with her. You see that that doesn't work because maybe she wants that. If that doesn't work, then you can use the hitting. But in explaining the hitting, the first thing you have to understand is we don't go straight to hitting, nor do we go directly to separating ourselves in the bed. No, not like that. In that order. You warn them, separate yourself, and then you hit them. The hitting has been explained in a lot of hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. In the hadith of Amr ibn al-Ahwa radiyallahu anhu, and ironically, this statement was made by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his farewell pilgrimage. There were a lot of things that the Prophet said to them in the farewell pilgrimage, and he talked about the situation with the women. He said, concerning the hidden, أَلَا وَاسْتَوْفُ بِالنِّسَاء خَيْرًا فَإِنَّمَا هُنَّ أَوَانًا عِنْدَكُمْ لَيْسَ تَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُنَّ شَيْئًا غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ فَإِنْ فَعَلْنَا فَاهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ وَاضْرِبُوهُنَّ ضَرْبًا غَيْرُ مُبَرِّحٍ فَإِنْ أَتَانَكُمْ فَلَا تَبْغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا. He said, verily I advise you to be good to the women, to take care of the women, for verily they are like captives to you. You have the upper hand over them. You have all those rights. If the husband had a wound, as the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that had pus coming out of his wound, pus. If the lady was to come and lick that pus out of the wound to clean it, she was to lick it with her tongue, she wouldn't have given her husband his rights. That's what the Messenger of Allah said. If I was to order someone to make sajda to someone else, I would order the woman to make sajda to her husband. If he wants to have a relationship with you and you're cooking the bread, let him come to you. She can't say no. So many rights. She has to get permission. Can I go? Can I have someone to come here? Can I have someone to come into your place, in your house? Anyway, the hadith went on to say, they are like captives with you. You do not own anything from them except that. Unless they do some open fahisha. And if they did something that was wrong, then what you have to do is separate yourself from them in the bed and hit them. And hit them in the hidden, that is, غَيْرُ مُبَرِّح. The hidden that doesn't break a bone, nor does it leave a mark. After you hit her, it doesn't leave a mark. Nor do you hit her in the face. Nor do you hit her in her face. You don't hit her, you don't grab her, you don't choke her. And manhandle her, as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It may be that one of you, he hits his wife like a slave, and then he comes at the end of the night to have a relationship with her. Then he's going to rehearse into the hadith. Even if I want to come to you on the bread, come on, you got to take into consideration a mental situation, a mental state. You just had a big knock him down, drag out argument, and you're talking about, okay, I want to have a relationship. She's not on that level right now. She hurt. And then you say, nah, this is my heart. But at the same time, she shouldn't say, no, I don't want to have any relationship just because. And use her mental state as an excuse. So the hidden here is the hidden that doesn't break the bone, nor does it leave any mark on the girl. That's the hidden that this hadith is talking about. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. But I would advise the brothers to take into consideration the type of women that we have. We have those women, some of them grew up in the projects. Some of them grew up in very adverse circumstances. They're not going to tolerate that. They're going to hit you back. They're going to swing back. And the brother becomes more angry, more upset. you not only you disobeying Allah now, and then he really is a big problem. We have a question here. Salaam alaikum, can you believe that there is only two sisters over here? To know, can you explain something about anger and being kind? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, he said in an authentic hadith, خيارَكُمْ خيارَكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. The best of you, if he was the most kindest, he's the nicest one to his family, and I'm the nicest one to my family. I'm the best of you to my family. Those men who beat their women and those men who are tough with their women, they're not the ones who are good with their family. Those people who are rough and harsh and tough, they're not the ones who are the best ones to their community. So it's clear, if the man wants to be successful in his marriage with a girl, he's going to have to be like, you know, he's going to have to be a nice man. He's going to have to be kind. Mm-hmm. Oh, Rafi. Abu Kaleem. Idda is the waiting period that the divorced woman has to wait. It varies from woman to woman depending upon her circumstances. The woman who is not pregnant, if the husband divorces her and he says, you're divorced, and he does everything properly, she has to wait until three periods come and go. Three cycles come and go. You see, the lady who's pregnant and her husband divorces her, or her husband dies, her husband divorces her, her iddah is when she drops her baby. All that time she's waiting. So let's say he died, he divorced her in the first month of pregnancy. Her iddah is up to 9 months. Let's say he divorced her 2 days before dropping her load. She dropped that load 2 days with her iddah. It's going to depend on different circumstances. At-talaq biyad من يملك الساق. The divorce is in the hands of the one who owns the shin. The shin, meaning the man is the one who owns the woman. The divorce is in the hands of the one who owns the shin. This is the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the woman can't say to her husband, "Well, I'm divorcing you." What the woman can do is she can move to have what's known as a khula. But that's how. She goes to the authority. She doesn't say to her husband, "I divorce you." She goes to the authority and she says, "This is my situation. He's not taking care of me. He's abusive. He's very, you know, violent. He's not this. He's not that. My family is dysfunctional."